live from Manhattan, Kansas, and all around the world, it's time for Hour with Seth, with your host, Seth Neiman, on Duo.com.
More Taco Bell and more Monopoly. This could be the title to my memoir, if you add in, like, heart disease or something. Also, why are women adopting dogs instead of dating? It really disturbs me. Maybe we can get the new and improved Godzilla to even the playing field. Yes, a dead dog joke. More on this, coming up next.
Next hour, you have the privilege of listening to Seth Neiman describe to you the best stories from Earth last week. The countdown has begun. Here's your host, Seth Neiman.
Hello, friends. My name is Seth Neiman. Welcome to Hour with Seth, episode number 7. It's hard to believe that at this juncture we spent 7 whole hours together. It's almost an entire work day. Some people do that every day, spend more than 7 hours with me, and they're surviving, so that would explain why Cameron hasn't got enough hate mail. This is unacceptable. Cameron deserves all the hate in the world that can be sent his way. In fact, I would prefer people who don't even know who I am or who Cameron is to make up things to hate him for. And then send him hate mail. But you guys are letting me down, so I'm thinking maybe we need a longer show. And then you guys will grow to hate the show due to oversaturation. And then you guys will send Cameron hate mail. If I need to work that hard to get him some hate mail, so be it. Anyway, welcome to Hour with Seth. We're now live every Monday, as I went over last week. Monday nights now, not Sunday nights. It's to bring you the freshest news, even fresher than we thought fresh was before. Now, literally 10 hours from this exact moment, the show will be available on iTunes. So it's incredibly current, but it's not as current as it could be if you were watching the show live at duo.com/live every Monday, right around 9 o'clock Central, 8:30, 9 o'clock Central time. It's around then. Follow us on the Twitter, at Duo, D-E-W-O-H. It's incredibly simple. We tweet when we go live, then you don't miss a second, and nothing's more current than real life happenings at this exact moment. There's this show on HBO called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. It's pre-recorded. I'm better than John Oliver. Also, if you can't watch it live because you're a filthy, filthy person, then you could grab the show the next day, Tuesday, at duo.com. It's right there on the homepage. If you're not a big fan of a browser, I guess you could go to iTunes, and you can find it there. You can search Hour with Seth. You can search Duo and look for my show. And you could watch the video and see this lovely visage on DuoTube, which is at youtube.com/DuoTube. And, of course, Duo is spelled D-E-W-O-H dot... That's a habit. It's spelled D-E-W-O-H. There's no dot unless you're accenting it with a period. D-E-W-O-H. Like the dew on a leaf and O-O-H. It's not D-Waw. We don't sell pizzas. Duo. D-E-W-O-H. And, of course, new episodes are available every Tuesday. This is the worst episode of Hour with Seth ever. But you say, Seth, you're only 5 minutes into the show. How could you possibly know that? Well, it's because this is the worst week for news ever. There's never been a worse week for news. I scoured the internet, and I was only able to come up with 29 measly pages of news. Historians will know that that's like half of what I prefer. And a lot of them suck. A lot of them are music-related. A lot of them involve, like, strange European women. Cameron probably is really interested.
I'm really excited, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And, like, of course, I've got more Monopoly and more Taco Bell, so it's just rehashes of all that. And then I've got more music news. I mean, this is going to be a terrible episode. I'd honestly prefer if you stopped listening. But now I know you won't because I've asked you to. Maybe reverse psychology would work on the hate mail side of things. Don't email Cameron your hate mail. This episode is brought to you by Obscure White Cup with Red Straw. Your slush headquarters. This year is... Sorry, apparently that got deleted out of the show. I'm not allowed to mention a sponsor who isn't paying. So I guess I'm not allowed to say...
Lessons learned.
Yep. If you were watching live, then you would have heard the name of the sponsor, which, by the way, is... Whatever. So I guess we could dive right into this. Usually at the start of every show, I like to start with something that's not news-related and talk personally about something that's happening in my life. And this week is no different. I don't understand what's up with all the ladies and their dog boyfriends. It's really disturbing me. I noticed this trend. I guess I couldn't call it a trend when I first started to notice it. But Katrina, one of my old friends, God rest her soul and whatever, she is now dead. But before she died, she had a dog named Lucy, who I assume is still alive because it's too dumb to actually die. And essentially, I think she got it probably mid, I want to say 2012, sounds about right. I had known Katrina for a year and a half prior to Lucy's arrival, and... Katrina and I hung out quite frequently. We had hosted a moderately popular internet program called Life, which received dozens of downloads every month. And I used to see her at least two or three or four times a week outside of our actual taping of that slightly heard program. And then Lucy arrived, and I really only saw her for the program. And I blame the dog. Now, it's not the dog's fault. I'm a dog lover. I love dogs. I currently don't have any dogs because I have a job full time, and I don't like to just leave my dog in my apartment. And I have an apartment with no yard, and also our apartment doesn't allow dogs. So I don't have a dog. But my parents, they have a dog. I go up there a couple times a month, and they have two Jack Russell Terriers, Sprout, who you've probably seen 100 times on my Instagram, and a dog that I like to call Penny Pointy Head because as she grew from a puppy into a regular-sized Jack Russell Terrier, her head grew 10 times faster than the rest of her body, and so her head is about this big, but her body is about this big, and so she looks like a head running on legs.
That's absolutely perfect. Now, I have a rule about animals. If it's any smaller than 30 pounds, it's a cat. And if it's under 5 pounds, it's a hamster.
That makes your dog a cat.
Correct. I own a cat.
Yeah. Except dog cats, not to be confused with cat dogs.
Correct.
Dog cats are better than cats.
Yeah.
Because they pay attention to you, I would say. But
and if I could just get my dog cat to like pee and poop in a box, that'd be sweet.
That would be. You wouldn't have to go outside for him.
Yeah.
But you live in a home with a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Your dog can go out.
That's true.
Like, my girlfriend's sister just got a dog, and its version of outside is the deck. not really outside. I mean, I guess it's technically there's a breeze. But if you want to get out of the house, you don't usually go out on your deck. And I should say balcony, because deck is an upgrade.
Oh,
it's a
man.
Balcony. On the third floor or something.
Look out below.
Yes. So, anyway, I digress, to quote Matt Barnes and Shakespeare, I assume. It's kind of scary that Matt Barnes is rubbing off on me. Hope he's listening. Matt Barnes, if you're mad at me for saying that I'm scared that you're rubbing off on me, please email your hate to Cameron@duo.com, because at this point I'm desperate.
I think he'll just be happy that you compared him to Shakespeare. I'm baffled, but that's just me.
I guess I did do that. My apologies to the bard. I don't care about Shakespeare. He sucks. Shakespeare's a waste of time and English.
He's dead. Screw him.
Yeah. No one likes you, Shakespeare. Probably had syphilis or something anyway. Anyway, I digress from my digression even farther now. Here we go. Back to the dog talk. So Katrina's dog, Lucy, started to absorb her life. Every day after work, Katrina would have to walk the dog. She'd have to get home early to take care of the dog and put the dog to sleep. I don't know what she does with the dog, but apparently the dog needs her attention at all times. And when Katrina wasn't there, the dog was in the world's smallest cage, and the dog looked so sad and so depressed, it couldn't have been a great life for the dog. Now, Katrina got the dog to make herself feel better because it was a rescue pit bull. So she got the dog to inflate her ego, so when she's out in Aggieville, you know, teasing men and then going home to put her dog to sleep, she says, "I rescued a pit bull. Look at me, yay, yay, yay. But I speak ill of the dead, I should not do that." And that was really my first experience with girls and dogs replacing boyfriends. Now, she lives across the hallway from this girl named Mikkel, who I think might be alive, but could have also died from some type of disease. You know what kind of disease. Essentially, she also has a dog. And the only reason Katrina is now best friends with this girl who lives across the hallway is because they both have dogs in common. So she knew this girl when she moved. They met when Katrina moved into her apartment for the first time, which I believe was like a year ago now. I haven't seen Katrina in 6 months. She's been dead. But prior to that, the 6 months that she was there, I never saw her, because she had met this new best friend with a dog. Even though I had 3 years of history with Katrina, it was really the dog that ruled all. It's like the Lord of the Rings, but with dogs. A dog of the rings, or the Lord of the Dogs. The Hobbit, the Desolation of Dogs. That's what it's like. So, lead me now to the trend. Manhattan is a college town with lots of girls, you know, between the ages of 18 and 24. Some would call that nothing to complain about, and generally those people would be correct. It's not really a bad thing. It's already pretty beautiful up here, and that just adds to the scenery. But as I get older and more curmudgeon-y with my heritage, I start to just get angry at the smallest things, and now dogs is the latest. Essentially, I no longer see a girl just running by herself. You know, it's like when iPods or Walkmans, I imagine, I wasn't alive then, but when they came to be, people didn't run without their Walkmans or their iPods anymore. You never saw a girl running without those white headphones. It never happened. It's like that now, but it's like that with dogs. You never see a girl running without a dog on a leash. And these girls who are, they may or may not be single, but their boyfriend isn't with them, and they're running by themselves, always have big dogs, when the girls who have girlfriends with dogs running always have small dogs. Now, some scientist out there who's smarter than me can figure out what this actually means and what that correlates in Freudism or whatever. But it's look out for it. All these girls that run with other girls that have dogs, they both have small dogs, and girls who run alone have big dogs. I don't know why. But I see these girls all the time. They all have dogs. I wasn't going to bring this up on the show because there's no real end to this rant besides the fact that I just hate these girls for no reason whatsoever. They're probably lovely. In fact, I know they're lovely. I've seen them. But I now hate them because of the dogs. But the only reason I brought it up was because I was driving home from Target, I believe, Friday. We were just getting some stuff from Target. I think we got like shampoo or something. It wasn't even exciting stuff at Target. And I'm waiting at one of those two-lane turns two-lane left turns to get onto a highway here to go back to my house. In the car directly to my left, in the turn lane next to me, is a blue Honda Civic, you know, 2012, 2013, newer model Honda Civic. Girl, obvious, like, general sorority girl, you know, tank top with, like, 18 tank tops on because they can never wear one. 18 tank tops, big old sunglasses, seven ponytails, and too much makeup. It's typical sorority girl. Nothing really to see there, but in the passenger seat, like a human being, was a giant black dog just chilling out like he belongs in the passenger seat. Like he's her boyfriend, and they're just taking a nice trip to Pier 1 Imports.
He thinks he's people.
He does. And the girl, she's fine with it. She's like, look at my boyfriend, everybody. It's my nice black lab. Oh, he's so cute. I hate you, girl. And I hate your dog. Even though it's not the dog's fault. For some reason, it fills me with rage that instead of being with nice men like Cameron or Colby,
that's right,
you're with a stupid dog hanging. It's not even in the back seat. If it was in the back seat, my rage would be 50% what it is right now. It's up here. The rage is up here. It's in. It thinks it's people because you want it to be people, except that there's actual people for you to hang out with.
Those of you watching the live stream, you can see a small amount of goo coming out of his ears. That is his brain fluid.
Thank you for saying I have a brain. I appreciate that.
No problem.
So, I'd like to take this moment to apologize to all women and all dogs. I don't want to say I didn't mean what I said, because I was filled with rage. I just wish it wasn't about something so trivial, but those people out there who are fans of The Rage and fans of this show will understand. Well, maybe they won't understand, but they'll at least start to notice girls with dogs replacing their boyfriends. Now, I'm lazy and don't like to write my own jokes. I Googled jokes about women with dogs. Well, I should really start from the beginning here, but I'm getting close to a break, so I'm just going to tell this really fast. First thing I did was Google women and dogs. Big mistakey. All right?
The internet's a disgusting place.
You get exactly what you think when you search women and dogs. So I was like, there's got to be one story in here that's legitimate. No. So I quickly changed my Google search to be women replacing men with dogs. Then I got one story about it, which I can read after the break here. I believe it's America's next generation of youngsters should be called Generation Rex, because apparently girls between the ages of 15 to 29 are no longer getting married. Instead, they're buying tiny dogs. However, my whole point is that they're not getting married and buying dogs. The point is that they're replacing humans with dogs. And they're only interacting with other humans if they have dogs. And I think I'm predicting the future just a little bit. I believe in 5 years, when I'm still doing this show, I will be reading that story on the air. However, in the meantime, to finish that, after I found that one story, I Googled jokes about women and dogs, and all the results were jokes about women or jokes about how women are like dogs. That's also not okay. I got a new understanding for the feminist movement after Googling three terms today. And then I come on this show and just rail against you the entire time. So once again, I would like to apologize to women. And I would like to apologize to dogs, and I'm going to take a break, and I'd also like to apologize to any sponsors that may have decided to sponsor this particular episode, like your summer slush stop. We'll be right back.
All systems are a go.
It's live. Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas. Duo.com.
I've got one simple question for you. Would you like some free swag? T-shirts, stickers, posters, exclusive content? You can! Just join the Duo Fan Club. It's totally free and it takes about 30 seconds. Just go to DEWOH.com/fanclub. Tell us some quick info about yourself, like what kind of swag you like best. And before you know it, it'll be at your doorstep. Duo.com/fanclub.
Hit it. Live, online radio and TV. Duo.com.
Howdy, hey everybody, Cameron here for Why Did We Watch That? The show that comes to you every Monday with the best, the worst, and the flat-out strange in film. You can check us out at duo.com, D-E-W-O-H.com. Once again, hashtag WDWWT. Find us all over the internet, Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Vine, even Instagram. Why do we watch that? Question I ask far too often.
Buttered cream corn.
This is Duo.
Hey, yo, listen.
Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas, Duo.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Seth Neiman from the show Hour with Seth. Usually, I don't do commercials because they're 120 times smaller than the average size of my show. But in this case, I'll make an exception. Duo.com, my house, where my show is hosted, is my favorite place on the internet. You should go there. Duo.com. DEWOH.com.
It's back. Hour with Seth has returned on Duo.com.
Welcome back to Hour with Seth. Well, I ranted for 20 minutes. Sadly, I now have to do an actual show for 40 minutes. I don't know why I didn't decide to name the show 30 Minutes with Seth. Well, actually, I do know. It's because I wanted four letters in each word. So, Hour with Seth. You get it? I thought it was clever, okay? Don't judge me. I don't really have any particular order that I'd like to read these in. I do have a Monopoly story, but here's something different for you. I kind of feel bad for only talking about Monopoly. So, only going to read that if I really run out of content. Or I decide to say, screw you people, it's my show, it's my hour, I'll talk about Monopoly because that's what I like. And that's honestly what's going to end up happening. And if you don't like that I just told you, screw you, you can write your hate mail to Cameron at duo.com. And yes, if you're sensing a trend, it's to send your hate mail to Cameron at duo.com. Do I need to spell Cameron for you? It's A-B-I-G-D-O-U-C-H-E at D-E-W-O-H.com. Be sure to check that out. Speaking of the aforementioned Cameron, I have a story here that I picked up just for him that I hope he doesn't have. Every once in a while, I like to find something really strange that he loves strange news and funny stories, and he does a great job of finding them. Every once in a while, I think I find one that I haven't seen him share or talk about, and I've got one for you right now.
I'm excited.
Apparently, the Volusia County Sheriff's Office and De Leon Springs, Florida, has now found a coffin laying upside down at the Woodline Park, and inside of it, it included 46 weapons. I now have a list of what was actually in this coffin.
I'm so excited.
Found
right now.
In a park in Florida where children could be. By the way, in a coffin. A black crossbow is number one on the list. A black ball and chain. A set of nunchucks. A metal pair of forceps. We could stop there, to be honest with you, and that would be enough.
This is kinky.
But we're only four out of 46. Next is a ball with metal spikes. What's this guy doing? a black hoodie, because, you know, you don't want to get cold, a small red square punching bag, a black leather pouch, a double-sided axe with a handle, a baseball bat with numerous screws attached, a small black sheath for protection from your, you know, your blades, scissors, silver in color, a wooden handle attached with a metal hook, and if that doesn't do the job, a wooden handle attached with a metal knife, just in case, a plastic tube with black handles, so you could, I don't know, try to open doors. I don't know what you would do with that. A wide black metal hook, another hook, a black folding knife, two black arm weights, a broken yellow dart, because everything has a use, silver baseball bat, a small wooden handle with an attached knife, a black metal crowbar, a silver antenna, black metal hooks, a black sword sheath, again for protection, a silver metal chain, which I'm sure he wore around his neck, a black handle with attached long knife, a wooden handle used with an attached rusted knife blade, rusty, good for tetanus, a black stick with an attached chain, and I love how all these things are like really descriptive, and this was just a black stick. I guess it's a limb or something. Two wooden metal hatchets, a silver boat anchor, just in case you're lost at sea, a black fire poker, a black metal crowbar, a pair of blacksmith pliers, a silver metal sword blade with a missing hand grip, a wooden blocking stick, a metal hammer, a double sickle handle, a single handle sickle, and a large pair of black metal tongs, two wooden axe handles, and last but not least, the most important thing in the bag, a wooden sword.
All right, two things. One, all the crazy messed up stuff in the world either happens in Germany.
Or it happens in Florida.
Or it happens in Florida.
Dr. Drew taught us that.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, the second thing, no, I had not heard that story. And I'm surprised, because normally when there's a coffin in a playground, someone tells me.
Filled with weapons.
Right. That's something that I'm interested in, and no.
And the best part is that this is like a coffin that came back in time or something. Like, I feel like this is in the 1700s, and people are stashing their hatchets and their wooden swords in a coffin and pushing it into a time machine, and it just opens in a wormhole and lands in a playground in middle Florida. Because there's no guns or anything like that. It's all handheld weapons, anchors, and a hoodie. It's just in a coffin in the middle of a park. So thank you, Florida, for this. They don't know whose coffin it is. They just found it. They don't suspect any foul play because there was no evidence that the weapons had been recently used. So
just donating to a good cause, like a children's playground.
They should give out each one of those weapons to a lucky citizen of De Leon Springs, Florida.
Sure,
or it might be De Leon or
some elderly community.
It's definitely full of old people who love, well, they don't love coffins. That's for sure. Oh, Cameron, did you already turn off your mic? Sorry, I'm making you bend a lot.
No,
here.
No, it's fine.
I've got a question for
sure.
you. Sure. How many Now That's What I Call Musics do you think have been released?
God.
Take a guess. The first one came out in 1998.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say 128.
Okay, you're a little high. Chris?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chris, how many Now That's What I Call Music do you think have been released?
No, it's definitely more than 50.
She knew it's 50.
No way.
It's the 50th edition of Now That's What I Call Music was just released. And it's,
have they been slowing down?
I guess so. 50 seems like a lot to me, Cameron.
Well, no, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was pretty sure like the 40 came out just as I was getting out of high school, and I thought that
was really?
A lot. Yeah.
Then I guess they have been slowing down.
Yeah.
Maybe there's been less hits. I don't know. But all in all, there's been 984 songs from 583 individual artists. The number one played artist is Britney Spears.
Yeah. Did you know Las Vegas is actually paying her money to stay in Las Vegas?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
It's a decent amount of money.
You think we could get them to pay us money to stay in Las Vegas?
I bet you they'd pay us to stay out.
Well, that's good enough.
The way we drink, I mean.
We're losing so much money.
Go back to Kansas.
They drank the fountains at the Bellagio. The entire fountains.
What do you mean it's not vodka?
It is, so don't tell me what I do.
Feed.
It's warm. Looking for a minor cultural milestone to make you feel old this morning? Now, that's what I call music. The undying line of pop music compilations born in the late 90s just released its 50th edition. Now 50, retailing for the low price of $10 plus whatever it costs to get a device that still plays CDs, has all the staples you've come to expect from America's favorite mixed CD. Club Jam, top 40 earworms, several hooky pop anthems you've probably sung alone in your car. The artists have changed, but the formula has not. In fact, since launching in the U.S. in 1998, the Now series has remained remarkably stable, even as CD sales cratered and some of its early stars self-destructed. In fact, even though Spotify basically enables anyone to make a Now compilation anytime they want, the original item remains weirdly compelling. They're like time capsules for car rides and dance club past. Remember Mandy Moore? No doubt. Lenny Kravitz before he was in movies? Lindsay Lohan before she was out of them? That said, Now has also favored certain artists over the years. Britney Spears has not two, not three, but 18 inclusions in the Now catalog. Her most recent, Work on Now 49. Never heard of it. Chris says it's a filthy title. And an anonymously, sure to attack the Bajancy's attention, Nickelback impossibly edges out both Beyonce and Destiny's Child. And forget the boy band battles of the early aughts. Backstreet Boys have 11 songs. NSYNC only has 6. All told, 984 songs from 583 individual artists. Oh, man. I don't know why this list is so appealing to me, but it is. I just don't expect the amount of people that have the biggest stuff on here. Like, number 2 is Chris Brown. Number 3 is Katy Perry. Chris Brown surprised me because he beats people. Katy Perry surprised me because I feel like she's only been famous for 5 years and she has more songs on here than Rihanna? That seems weird. Pink has a lot of... the Black Eyed Peas have a lot of songs. That makes a lot of sense, I guess. But Taylor Swift, who I feel has a song on the radio that makes me want to put a gun in my mouth every week, has less songs than Bruno Mars. Keith Urban has more songs on here than Beyonce. Daughtry, who I didn't even know existed, has more singles on here than Justin Timberlake. What this led me to believe is that Now That's What I Call Music pays these people more or less money depending on the name recognition, which means that Katy Perry takes like $5 to be on Now That's What I Call Music, and that's why she's the third most played person. Justin Timberlake, who has more hits than Jesus.
And is a god.
You could make an entire CD called Now That's What I Call Justin Timberlake and just put all his albums on it. I would buy that. I like Justin Timberlake.
The cover art alone.
Yeah, exactly. I could frame that on my wall. I still like that that disco ball being crushed by his manly foot. Yes. And when he makes optical safety look sexy. That's a thing for this 2020. Whatever.
The more you know.
That was a terrible joke. Public service announcement. Now, if you email a dollar amount and a cent amount to tacobell@sendmail.io, you will get a reply immediately letting you know what you can get for that amount of money at Taco Bell with the most calories. For example, if you say, I only have $6.96, and you put 6.96 in the subject line and send the email to tacobell@sendmail.io, you will get an email that reads, Taco Bell Grande is 760 calories for $3.29. A chicken burrito is 400 calories for $1.59. A bean burrito is 370 calories for $1.09. and cheesy nachos are 280 calories for 99 cents. So the total count for that is $6.96, and the total calorie is 1,810 calories. Letting you stuff yourself full on Taco Bell on a budget. So if you would like to try that out late at night when you have no money, which I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this show are like that, but I hope you have at least $10 a month, give that a shot and let me know how it works. If it doesn't work, please let Cameron know. Send him your hate mail about how Taco Bell screwed you out of your money at Cameron@duo.com. Okay, I got this really weird story that I don't have time to read because of the break coming up. Let me see. What can I read here before the break? Okay, I got this story to read. I got the Monopoly story to read. Ooh, I got Godzilla. We could talk about Godzilla. I like Godzilla. We could talk about the most verbose hip-hop artists. Oh, and then Generation Rex. Well, I have three stories. How am I going to fill 25 minutes with three stories, people? It isn't going to happen. I'm going to have to go back talking about dogs again. First, let me take a sip from my beautiful slushie brought to you by... Ah. Cameron is handing me stories hot off the wires. I'll have to peruse this. The Sun claims Kanye West plans to hold his bachelor party in Ireland. A source tells the paper, Kanye loves Dublin, as does Jay-Z, and it's... what is that accent? This is like an Arabic dude. So does Jay-Z, pretty close to Paris, so it's perfect option before the wedding. He has his people looking into places like the Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton and clubs they could take over for a night. Kim will be doing her own thing with the girls. And Kanye knows that in Dublin, he will be pretty much left to do it himself.
Your accent slowly changed, I think, to three different things at one point.
If you don't like my accent, you can email Cameron at duo.com. No one's going to email. That's so pathetic. Oh. Earl Paula Patton tells Vanity Fair that she's open to reconciling with Robin Thicke. And more Why Do You Care news. Lady Gaga has auctioned off her red Rolls Royce convertible for the Music Cares charity. It's expected to sell for $50,000. That's all? It's a red Rolls Royce owned by Lady Gaga, and it's only 50 grand. No one wants anything Lady Gaga's touched. Oh, sweet. A red Rolls. Who's been in it? Oh. Oh, how much? Ooh, that's way too much.
Honey, this isn't the car for us.
but new Rolls Royce, sir, costs $250,000. Yeah, but Lady Gaga's butt.
Have you seen what she wears? Trashy.
Yes. And she actually literally wears trash.
Yeah. That's a hot item for her.
There's a lot of Kardashian news in this. I really, really enjoy it. I like what you highlighted.
Wait, what did I highlight? Let me see.
You just highlight like...
Did I just highlight butts over and over again?
No, but would make more sense.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, Contact Music claims Taylor Swift has been thinking about breast implants.
Hell yeah.
She'd have to have literally breasts implanted onto her before that would happen. I have to apologize to women again.
Couldn't even go 20 minutes.
Let's... Cameron's prep has led me down a road that I cannot recover from. This has no words with it. I just like this. This is a great picture of Godzilla throughout the years. I'm a big fan of Godzilla. Even the Matthew Broderick version of Godzilla, I'm a big fan of. I just like how Godzilla's gotten really big over the years. I mean, he started off like the size of a dude, and now he's the size of the Empire State Building. If you're not watching this on the video, it's youtube.com/duotube, and shame on you. But yeah, check that out. The new Godzilla movie, I think he's really cute, and it's a problem, because I kind of just want to pet his head, because he's like, give him a big hug, but he's a massive lizard, and he would eat me, but every time I see him in the trailers, I'm just like, why are you hurting poor Godzilla? He just wants love. I mean, he's a lizard who was nuclear blasted for years, and then he's dropped in the middle of a giant city. He's a lizard. He's supposed to be this big. And he's dropped into this, he's huge now. He doesn't know what is happening to his body. We've all been there. We don't know what happens to our body sometimes. And then we're dropped in a foreign environment and people start shooting at you and poking you and lighting you on fire. How can you not feel bad for that lizard? I love Godzilla, but I hate dogs. That is the enigma that is me. All right, well, we can go to break anytime we want. I don't care anymore.
Hour with Seth will be right back. on Duo.com.
It's time again, ladies and Germinators. It's time for you and me to get together, pull up a rocking chair, a milk crate, a footstool, anything that you might have handy, because you are about to be exposed to this next fine, super fine installment of Rants from the Barn. Rants from the Barn here at Duo.com, coming to you every Wednesday.
Online, radio, and TV from Manhattan, Kansas. This is Duo.
Howdy, hey everyone. Cameron here from WDWWT for Duo.com. It's the podcast network for the young, the old, and the criminally insane. Oh, wait, scratch that. For the young, the old, and people with ears. Well, that kind of seems insensitive. For the young, the old, and people without diabetes. Stay fit, people. No, I kid. Duo.com, online radio and TV.
Changing the way you listen to the radio. Duo.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Brandon, the host of The Social Circuit, the new social media show airing on Duo.com every Thursday, where we talk about all the social media news for the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever I feel like. The funny stuff, the good stuff, the awesome stuff. Every Thursday, catch me, Brandon, on The Social Circuit at Duo.com. At the Pain. At Duo.
It's back. Hour with Seth has returned on Duo.com.
Just 18 minutes and 20 seconds remaining until I'm finally done. We're going to talk about Monopoly because I actually kind of read this article during the break. I don't like to read my articles. I like to do this show organically. Okay, I feel like it keeps me sharp, first of all. I could just come in here and start rattling away and fill an hour by myself. Sure, is it narcissistic? Absolutely. Is it egomaniacal? Definitely. Does it make me a bad person? Probably. Here we go. Chris is in the room right now. She'll enjoy this article because she's terrible at it. And these are tips to make the game, or make you better at the game. So, here we go. An explainer of how to win at Monopoly using economic theory. Rule number one is do not create a cash bonus for landing on free parking. Of course, now it's in the official rules, but I like to do this because it makes it a little more fair and adds an element of luck into the game. People like Chris, they land on free parking and they're so destitute and they have no money and they're borrowing from the bank and they're crying and they're pleading to the Lord, Seth, to give them some more money to survive in this Monopoly game. Then they land on free parking and they feel like they should go to the club and start throwing ones at strippers because they got so much money. So I play with it, but these economists say don't. I'm fine with not playing with it too. I have so much money, I don't care. Trading is the key to the game. Here we go. The subtleties and odds that concern which properties to develop and at what level. The unsubtle thing is that having monopolies of any kind are vastly better than not having a monopoly. Duh. If you're extremely lucky, you can get a monopoly by landing on all three properties in a group when they're unowned and buying them up. But that almost never happens. To get a monopoly, you almost always have to trade. And the strategy of the game comes mostly from trading and making creative trades. Totally agree. It's a great idea. I could have wrote this article, I feel like. Written it. Okay, I can't write because I can't speak. Don't play with just two people. I agree with this also. Four is really the minimum you should play with. Since Monopoly is mostly a trading game, two-people Monopoly is useless as playing a game of open-hand poker. In a two-person Monopoly game, like in Slate's Explainer, who cares? Trading is pointless because there's no reason to make a trade in a two-person zero-sum contest. You need at least three people and ideally 4 to 8. See? Also, the more players in the game, the more valuable property becomes relative to cash. A property you might pass up in a four-person game is one you'd buy in an eight-person game. Very true. Lots more properties just get gobbled up quickly. Monopoly is a trading game. If you play with more than two people, the possibilities for useful trading are immense. If you hold two yellows and one red, and you hold two reds and one yellow, you can give both yellows up and give both reds. Makes sense. Some streets have far more value than others. The rate of return on your investment varies substantially between different property groups. Here's a fancy chart. Don't automatically buy up every property you land on, Chris. This is another common mistake by Chris and people who think Monopoly strategy is either simple or non-existent.
Chris, nobody can hear you. Be quiet.
I know. It's so great. The compressor just takes her right out. Ah, technology. You can gain a high rate of return from building multiple houses on expensive properties, but it takes a lot of cash. So, you need cash. Here's an example of why you need cash in a fancy chart. Move fast, Chris. The monopolies you have a chance to develop early in the game are the light blue color. Oriental, Vermont, Connecticut, and the orange group, St. James, Tennessee, and New York. These groups require, respectively, $770 and $1,460 to develop into a high-yield investment. The best strategy is to acquire one of those groups and requisite the cash. My mouth stopped functioning now. Stroke. I now have to apologize to old people. Especially old women with dogs. All right, who cares anymore? Trade isolated properties. You don't want to tie your money up in property that can't be developed into a high-yield property. Never buy power companies. Never buy railroads. Although I have a soft spot for railroads, so I always buy them just because I always have so much money. It's kind of like a bragging right. It's like a guy who has a 50-foot yacht but also buys another 50-foot yacht just because he's like, I have so much money, I can have another yacht. That's kind of like me with railroads and Monopoly. Don't drive a hard bargain. Lots of people do this, Chris. It's a mistake, Chris. Trading is so positive sum that it's worth letting your partner get a slightly better deal. Quantity beats quality. Even if you have a terrible luck in buying up properties, you should still be able to trade your way to a monopoly by making cash deals. After all, a player who acquires a monopoly can't do anything with it unless he has some money to buy houses. Don't wait to trade. Some players like to wait until all the properties have been bought up before making a trade. That's a completely arbitrary principle that only hurts them. There's no reason not to make a trade that gets both parties close to the position of having the property, Chris, and making money needed to make a profitable investment, Chris. When you have a monopoly, build three houses on each property. Once you have a... Now, this one I haven't heard. Once you have monopoly, your priority should be to attain enough cash to buy three houses on each property. Three houses is the point where the rate of return takes a huge leap. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Investments below that level take far too long to pay themselves back. Adding a fourth house or a hotel is fine if you have the extra cash, which I always do, to invest, but that cash is better spent developing a second or third monopoly if you can acquire one. I always have three, and I always build hotels. And I always stay at the Wynn. That's what I do. I'm not drunk. That was the Patron show, I think, two shows ago. Maybe it was the last show. I don't know. I don't even care. I got 12 minutes left, and I'm going to make it. Whether you want me to or not, audience.
Seth, is this your cry for help?
It might be.
Okay.
I think I'm still mad about the stupid dogs. That's honestly what it is. I just can't get that image of that dog riding in the passenger seat out of my mind.
Rocking out with to Katy Perry with her.
It's probably
her
what was
tops.
Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
And the last tip. There's almost no luck. Luck matters in Monopoly only if all the players understand the fundamentals of the game strategy and understand the varied rate of return of different investments. I've never played a game of Monopoly where that's the case. Players who understand the odds and strategy of the game should virtually never lose to the ones who don't. Chris. Just like to say that some economists are on my side. So, thanks to that, economist people, whoever you are, I cut off your names. 10 minutes left. Let's not talk about this one. I want to get to this one. It's weird, but sometimes I like weird ones. And it's images. I like to show the people who watch this on... Oh, can you hear me? No, you can't. I thought you could hear me scratching my cheek. And I thought that was really strange, because you can't hear Chris's yodeling, but you could hear the soft, subtle scratch of my hand upon my face. That's kind of interesting. But you couldn't. And now I'm wasting more time, which is great, because I have nothing left to talk about. These are weird regional contests... And the people who won them. So these are Stan and Vlad, the best brothers. And good job for them. This is Natalia, who is the best Jennifer Lopez lookalike. That's not a good organized by the Komsomolskaya Pravda, a local newspaper. Don't really think she looks like J-Lo at all, but she apparently looks more like J-Lo than anyone else in her town of Komsomolskaya.
These look like stories from the 50s. Like
I don't know. But, she dreams of having her own private prosthetic clinic. Everyone's got a dream, right? This is the Miss Belarusian Railway. So I guess that's the prettiest girl in the Belarus railway system. So good for her. Once again, in Belarus, this is Sasha, best welder. So good for him. Olga is a mother of the best large family in Smorgon, and she was rewarded with this large peacock. So, good on her. And by the way, if you're not looking at these
look at them
images,
feathers.
Shame on you. YouTube.com/duotube. Yeah, those feathers are actually really, really pretty incredible. They're really, I didn't really notice, but yeah, they're like going crazy. I don't know how she, I also didn't notice her lovely bed sheets down there, which appear to be giant kitten heads. She also appears to be standing on the bed, holding a peacock. What is going on in Eastern Europe?
I'm kind of scared, actually. I don't understand.
Natalia and Conan are the best couple in love. So congratulations to them on being the best couple in love. Sorry to the worst couple in love. Here is Elena, the best milkmaid in the Sklusk region of Belarus. Good job being a milkmaid there, lady. Got a nice hose with you, which I'm assuming you use to milk things. Put that in Lady Gaga's Rolls Royce and the value will actually improve amazingly. Now, here's something Cameron can probably get into. Here's Anya. Here she is, the fitness queen.
I could try to get into that, yeah.
So, good for her on being the fitness queen. This person is a multi-champion in dog beauty contests. Her name is Ari. And she's got herself a lovely poodle. Which I assume is trying to bite her at this exact moment. It is Eastern Europe, after all. That is a really angry dog. Don't know exactly what's going on there. And last but not least, Anastasia is a winner of the Belarusian Youth Association Beauty Contest. Big ups to her for being the prettiest young girl in Belarus. Her mother slash father slash Shrek must be very proud.
Slash curtain holder.
She has to hold the curtain. She didn't quite make it far enough. I don't think the photographer was close enough in.
Future porn star.
Or you know, I don't know what's going on here, but that's certainly a strange place, Belarus, over there. I don't know. Is Belarus by Russia? Do we know? Yeah. Anyone? Yeah, let's just say it is. All I know, it's got a great name. Belarus sounds like, I'll say it. Why not? It's the end of the show. A really thick lady who cleans your house. Hi, my name's Belarus, and I'm here to do your laundry. Oh, send your hate mail to Cameron@duo.com. It's very important. Chris, your phone says 10% battery. I can't see anything but that. Yes, Belarus is by Russia. Yay. Okay, hold on. I got to get my prep here because I got credits I got to read here in a second. Okay. One last story. No hate mail yet, Cameron says in his email. You guys are letting me down. I would tell you to watch live, but at this point, what's the use? Got 5 minutes left, and then the stream comes down altogether. So, who cares? One story left. Cut it real close this week. Really having to stretch. Could you imagine if I didn't rant for 20 minutes on dogs? Where we'd be at in the show? I'd be left with 54:39 and nothing left to talk about.
Oh, I'd give you something.
I don't want what you're going to give me.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, I don't. Bet it comes from Belarus.
Probably close.
Probably got it from a Lady Gaga's Red Rolls Royce. The triple R is all
I didn't
like to call
know
it.
I didn't need to put down plastic, all right? Nobody told me.
The smell alone should have been a good reminder to put it down. Anyway, second Shakespeare reference of the show. Literary elites love to rep Shakespeare's vocabulary across his entire corpus. He uses two... This is why I can't read Shakespeare, because I can't read simple numbers. 28,829 words, suggesting that he knew over 100,000 words and arguably had the largest vocabulary ever. However, he made up a lot of those words, so that doesn't count. If duo counts as a word, then yay, I'm Shakespeare. However, this author decided to take that theory and figure out which rapper had the biggest vocabulary. Number one. Okay, so we got to summarize because I'm running out of time. Basically, to avoid issues with apostrophes like pimpin' and pimping, they're removed from the data set. It still isn't perfect. Hip-hop is full of slang that's hard to transcribe, like shorty versus shoddy, and compound words like king S. Featured vocalists and repetitive choruses. However, basically, he took 35,000 lyrics, which equates to be about 3.5 albums from the first albums. That way, people like Jay-Z could be compared to artists such as Drake. And he included mixtapes for people who were just short of 35,000 words, like from Kendrick Lamar and Biggie, for example, because they don't have a big catalog yet. So out of the 85 artists in the data set, number one is Aesop Rock. Because... The Reddit hip-hop community was in an uproar calling Aesop Rock would absolutely be number one, and sure enough, Aesop Rock is well above every artist in my data set. I don't know who that is. Cameron, you know who Aesop Rock is? No, I've never heard of him. But apparently he's very prolific, so congratulations on your big dang vocabulary. Too bad no one else cares. Basically, the second one is the Wu-Tang Clan. Number 2, number 6, number 7, number 9, number 20, and number 23 on the list are all members of the Wu-Tang Clan. RZA, GZA, Ghostface, Raekwon, Method Man, all of their solo works are in the top 20, and GZA's at number 2, which is a big deal. As you can see in the breakdown of Wu-Tang's first 5 albums, they use a lot of words there, so... Big ups to Wu-Tang Clan for having a big vocabulary. You'd be surprised where most of these people landed. Most of them were in the average of 8,000 vocabulary words. Lil Wang, Kanye, Snoop, and Tupac were towards the back of the peep. Tupac, whatever. I'm white. Leave me alone, man. And Jay-Z was in the middle. So basically, and East Coast rap was way more vocabulary heavy than West Coast or even Midwest rap. So... Basically, if you're from New York, you use a lot of words. But the Wu-Tang Clan really distorted that whole thing because, you know, of the fact that they're from New York and there's 70 of them in the clan, as it were. So there you go. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is the end of the hour, Seth. We made it. Oh, thank God. Next week, I will be back for some reason with episode 8, unless Cameron cancels me after this show. Which I wouldn't be offended by, but you would, so send him hate mail, Cameron@duo.com. I'll be back here next Monday, 9 p.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter for the exact time, because sometimes it starts around 8:30, sometimes it starts around 9:30. So follow us. If you can't watch it live, shame on you, but check us out at duo.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, and you can watch the video after the fact at youtube.com/duotube, and new episodes are put up every Tuesday. Email me, Seth@duo.com, and send hate mail to Cameron@duo.com. Hour with Seth is executive produced by Cameron Cameron Wolford and Seth Neiman. I almost added my name to Cameron's name. It almost became Seth Wolford and Cameron Neiman. It's brought to you by Duo.com, and it is written by me, Seth Neiman, and the opinions expressed within the preceding program were delivered in an intentionally humorous way and were not meant to be taken seriously by you, your boss, or anyone at all. No animals were harmed in the making of this episode, and it's proudly filmed in Georgia. I will see you guys next week. Thanks a lot for listening. This has been Hour with Seth.